Morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. In some of the Pew Bibles, it's page 1121. The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, no one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here in your house of worship. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to guide us, to teach us your ways. Father, we ask you to empty us right now from our own thoughts and fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us attentive to the words that will be taught to us, given to us by the pastor. Father, I also pray that we will see the day that every knee will bow down and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. In his holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. I'm sure we all have received invitations for some event, a wedding, a banquet, and sometimes these invitations coincide with other invitation interests or activities. And so we have to decide which invitation is the most important one. In other words, we must prioritize. The problem with people today is that they don't want to, or they don't know how to prioritize. And examples can be many. For example, someone invites you for supper one night, and then a good friend that is going through a difficult period of time calls you and says, "Please come, I really need your help." And you say, "Boy, I don't know which one to do. I have this invitation for supper and I'm sure the food is good and the fellowship or the company will be great. And then I have this need to go and visit this friend who is in great need of me." Then you struggle. That is your decision and that is where you need the help that comes from the Holy Spirit if you are a believer. But if you're not a believer, then you have to struggle with that. And it's like You are invited for a wedding, and then after a while another wedding, and then they just coincide, and then you have to choose. Or in business, you have to prioritize what is more important. Is my business important or my family? Is my hockey game more important than spending time with my children? Is my pleasure more important than the needs of my family? And then we are called to choose. This applies also to churches and Christians in general. Yes, there will be a great gathering, the Bible says, in heaven. If you are a believer, you must realize that there is a great big feast being prepared. I cannot explain to you how large the room will be, and as I cannot explain, people come to me and say, "Can you prove God to me?" And I tell them what I have to say, and then they say, "No, that's not a proof, that's faith." Or they ask me to explain to them what Trinity is all about. And I tell them, "You cannot explain Trinity, but I believe that we have one God, a triune God." And then they will sort of say, "Oh yeah, you can't prove to me there is God." But then if you turn around and you ask them other questions, "Do you know how much your friend loves you?" "Oh yes, yes, I'm 100% that my friends love me. My friend loves me." And then you ask, "Prove it to me." And they say, "Well, I know that person loves me, but I can't prove it to you." And they'll come up with some lame things to make their point. So here we have a great gathering being prepared. It is going to be called the wedding supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19:9. It is actually described in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21 also. The Bible says that there will be people from every tongue and every tribe and nation there who are in Christ. And again, what better taste of that than here, a temple. We have all kinds of cultures represented in this small group. As a matter of fact, we have a map downstairs that shows the languages we speak. And at the last count, I believe, was about 45. And we have black, white, yellow, and between, and all kinds of cultures. And you know what? I believe we all are equal in the eyes of God, and we are all equal when it comes to a family of believers. The Bible says that there will be people from every tongue, every culture, every color. God invites everyone to come to this gathering. Matthew 22:9 says, Jesus said actually, "Go to the street and street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." As a matter of fact, that's exactly what our team is going to be doing this afternoon. They'll be going downtown to the metro station and invite everyone that is willing to accept that small leaflet, the pamphlet, "What Are You Searching For?" and the other one, "God Love, Life," and which will lead them to the Lord if they take this message seriously. And the invitation is extended to every human being. And I know there are cultures and there are religions and there are doctrines that they will say that God has a preference with one color over another color, or He has chosen people many to go to hell and others to go to heaven. But I know what the Bible says. I have read the Bible carefully, and John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in Him, not to perish, but have everlasting life." But God wants His church, the true believers, to be a preview of the great banquet. And unfortunately, the church, the organized church, or churches in general, the church organizations, they do not reflect that. Once someone came to this church and he was commenting about the multicultural face of this church, he said, Where I come from, there are we are two churches, one Baptist church at this corner, and the other corner has another Baptist church. I said, why? And he said, we are affiliated, we are sister churches. I said, I said, what's the difference? He said, well, one is white Baptist church for white people and the other one is for black. And I thought was, I said, that's sinful. He says, I know, but we have to do it. I said, why? He said, because of cultural differences. Well, excuse me, how will you coexist? How will you be in heaven then? What are we going to do there? Well, he said, we're not going to have the cultural differences. You know, there is always a little explanation for being a racist or whatever, proud of your background. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be proud of our background. Who we are, we are. And what culture we have is our culture, and we should be proud of our culture, but we should not let culture and color and race divide us and separate us and bring hatred and bitterness between us. He wants his people, the church, to invite and welcome everyone, all kinds of people, and all the different cultures should be invited to come. He wants us to love one another, pray for one another, accept one another, so people can see Christ through us and not only hear us talk about him. A true believer must reflect the joy that Jesus has brought in his or her life. One of the marks of being a Christian is or should be joy. And unfortunately, many Christians exist or go through life joyless. They always have some complaint. They always have something that they don't like. There is always some bitterness. And as if Christ did not give us the joy of our salvation. Augustine said, a Christian should be hallelujah from head to toe. Isaiah said, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. In Jesus' story, the servants went around saying, come, all things are ready. God's invitation is not $100 a plate dinner that you must pay. It is an invitation to partake freely of the good things he has prepared for you and for me. Not a potluck dinner. You don't have to pay for it or bring your lunch with you. We always have lunches here. We are known for liking food. And my wife will call or others will call and say, well, you are invited to come, and they'll say, can we bring something? And they'll say, yeah, bring with you some food or potluck supper. But that's not how it is in heaven or with heaven. God is preparing the best there is. How would you feel if you invite someone for dinner and he or she showed up carrying his lunch in a bag? I'm sure you'd be insulted. Or what if you had invited people to your wedding and had prepared a big reception for all those who claim to be your friends to the reception, and on the wedding day or the day before, they all come up with excuses and did not show up for the wedding? What would you do? And how would you feel? In his story, Jesus said that everyone who was invited began making excuses. This morning we were discussing in our Bible study, discussing about reasons why we say no or procrastinate. And I believe that most of the time, it is because of selfishness or pride that we don't do the things that we are expected to do. In the Middle Eastern culture, this was a slap in the face and insult. They knew ahead of time that the wedding and the banquet was coming. But they all had all kinds of excuses. They were actually saying to the host, I have something more important or better to do. Or just, I cannot come, or I won't, I don't want to come. And again, we talked about church activities, and we talked about invitations. Our church is a mission post, if you wish. We all are volunteers, and we totally and completely depend on the willingness of people to come and help. And this morning, in our Bible study, we said that God is not looking for perfection, but God is looking for people who are willing to do the work. And the rest will be given to them, the help they need. Things have not changed much. People will be making excuses today that sound as good or as bad as those in the story Jesus said. I'm too busy. I don't know about you, but I have excused myself in the past, and even now I will catch myself using an excuse not to do something that my wife may want, or my daughters or my grandchildren, because I'm tired, because of this, because I'm going to come out of my comfort zone. And I have to deal with that. I have to realize that if someone needs me and if someone wants to talk to me, it's more important than for me to stay in my comfort zone. Often we are too selfish to do that. I am too busy. And others may say, I have been turned off by religion. And again, the lamest excuse, or no, actually I wouldn't call it lamest, but the biggest excuse or the biggest reason I've heard people saying they don't want to go to church is because they've been turned off, and because they've seen corruption, and because they say that the church is full of hypocrites. Well, that may be true, but when you go to church, you don't go for the people, you go to worship God. And I believe our attitude should be one of, I would rather go, and again, there are situations where you must remove yourself from a bad situation or bad activity because you don't agree with it. But if it's only because you don't like this or you don't like the other, and you use that as an excuse not to serve God, then you have thrown out the baby with the bathwater, if that's how we should put it. And I believe that excuses are all kinds. There are too many hypocrites there. I don't understand or even need religion. That's true. I don't think, I disagree with that, but we don't need religion, actually. Religion is not something God has created. As a matter of fact, people ask me, which religion is the right religion? And I tell them there is not even one religion that is right. Only believing in God, faith in God, following Christ, and accepting the gospel, and living by the word, God's word, is what we need. And religion has become an activity, often has become an activity that keeps us so busy that we forget to look up and stop focusing on Jesus, but rather we are very busy doing all kinds of activities that don't get us any closer to Jesus. But in reality, these are excuses. People just don't want to accept an invitation or the invitation because they are very busy enjoying whatever they're doing. And these apply to those in church who call themselves Christians. Those who have one foot in the church and the other in the worldly activities that rob them from their time for spiritual activities and fellowship with other believers. If you've seen compromising churches, I've seen compromising churches. If you've seen compromising Christians, I've seen compromising Christians. If you have compromised, I have compromised. And we all know that compromising does not make you any stronger. Political correctness these days has crossed the line of sanity. everything goes. Even the churches have allowed things to happen because they don't want to hurt someone else's feelings. Now, there was another group of people in this story, the servants. They obeyed the king and went out with the good news and a great invitation. Come to the banquet. They were sent to individuals, not groups. And often we forget the servants. We concentrate, the pastors and teachers concentrate on the people who did not come and the people that came. But let's not forget the servants. The servants were very faithful. The servants went out and they did not say, well, we went to the rich and to the important people. They never came. What? We'll go now to the beggars and to the poor people. No, they did obey and they did go out and invited people. That's exactly who the servants are in the church. The servants are those who go out, track distribution, to invite people to come. The servants are those who invite people to church or bring them closer to God. And I should avoid saying bring them to church, because the church is not what we believe in. What we believe in is God and the family of believers. There is one only family of believers, and that is the body of Christ, and not too many churches. But one church, the invisible body of Christ. As people are not born collectively all at once, they also are not born again collectively. Even though some crusades, you'll see 10, 20, 100, 10,000 people come to the front, they're not born again collectively. They are born again individually. Each human being that acknowledges the existence of God, each human being who acknowledges his inability to live a holy life or a good life or clean life, each person who acknowledges his soul, the eternal soul that he has, and each person who acknowledges and knows that there is life after death, but he doesn't know what to do and how to deal with that knowledge, is or should be invited. And Christ invites these people for the truth. Jesus said, and if you know Jesus, you know the truth. Mass outreach and big crusades are often the illusion of our age. We must still reach people one by one. The servants were first sent to those who knew about the feast. Probably this represents those who know about God, the religious people who responded to the invitation, come, and they rejected. Today there are a lot of people who go to church. There are a lot of people who call themselves religious or Christian. 2 billion people almost claim to be Christians. But when you talk to them about their own relationship with God, their own relationship with Christ, their own life, their own eternal existence, if you wish, they don't know and they don't want to know, but they claim they are Christians. So they have rejected the invitation. And some people may say, well, I'm a good person, I'm a clean person. And the example we have is religious people who came to Jesus at night and said, Master or teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He probably thought Jesus would say, well, you are saved already. You don't need to do anything else because you are in the temple. You are a very God-fearing man. You are a godly man. You have worked hard. You are educated. You know what to do in the temple. But Jesus said, all that is fine, but you need to be born again. And again, this is not necessarily politically correct these days, even in the church, because it means that you have to become evangelical or Protestant or whatever. No, it has nothing to do with these. Being born again is you were born in the flesh and you have lived your life, but all of a sudden you realize that you need to be reborn, a new creature that will enjoy life, but enjoy it in the presence of God and know that this salvation, this new birth will bring you into eternity. And by doing that, you accept the invitation for that great banquet. But going back to the excuses or the reasons why they didn't come, one said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. The other person said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. Even though the servants' invitation were rejected, the servants actually were not blamed or punished, but those who rejected the invitation were left out and replaced by others who accepted the invitation. The king did not demand the servants to be successful, but rather to be faithful to deliver the invitation, and that's exactly what we must do. Those who will go to distribute tracts, those who teach Sunday school, those who talk to their friends, those who visit someone and speak to them about eternal life and about Jesus, about God, what they're doing. They are servants of God who are inviting people to join the family of believers, not a particular church or denomination or religious group. All God demands from us is, that is, the followers of Christ, is to be faithful. Our mission as Christian is a lifetime responsibility. We cannot pick and choose the time or the place to serve God and invite people to come to the Great Supper. But how can we invite others to come if we are not willing to set our priorities straight? How can we invite others to read the Bible if we don't read the Bible? How can we invite others to come to the church and Bible study if we can't or won't come? The king sent the invitation. The servants delivered the invitation, but those who were invited were too busy to come. Their response was, I cannot come. What is ours? What is your response to him? Have you accepted the invitation? You may ask, come to what? Well, come to the banquet of believers. Because I believe becoming a believer is not only to make things right with God and then continue your life, but is to join a family of believers and the banquet they are part of. I believe we as believers can love each other and invite each other to our homes and speak with each other, hug each other if you wish, have suppers together, coffee together, and we can make this earth at the beginning of an eternal fellowship and a banquet. To be present at that great banquet, you first have to accept the invitation. Then you must make that your first priority and then start the journey to the banquet place by joining all those heading there. What God is asking you this morning is whether you are willing to come to wherever He wants you to come. Apostle Paul puts it this way. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been perfect, but I press on, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on. What counts is your attitude and response when God calls you to come. And again, you may say, okay, what is the message this morning? You talked about the great banquet. You talked about people who rejected the invitation. You talked about the people who came to the banquet. And you talked about the servant. But what about me? Well, I believe I am invited. I was invited to the banquet. I accepted the invitation and I joined the family. But now I should reflect my willingness to follow Christ And I believe every one of us who has accepted that invitation to come to the banquet, great banquet of believers here, which will continue in eternity. Obviously, it takes faith to believe that. But we must all reflect Christ and honor the person, the King, our Lord, who has invited us to this banquet. May God help us do that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for loving us so much. And your invitation was extended to us, Lord, the human race, long time ago. But when people rejected that invitation and turned their backs away and walked away from you, Lord, you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to come and personally invite each one of us. Many have accepted the call and are following you, but many others have rejected or they have not heard or have not received the invitation. Help each one of us to be able to reach out and bring that invitation to others. And help us, Lord, to be able to prioritize and reflect you in our daily life. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.